The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a show that I do on the radio. Some people listen via podcast. Tons of people have gone to ericmetaxas.com and they've signed up for my newsletter. When you sign up for the newsletter, we send you the TV version. We send you the video of this. As you know, because of my potty mouth, I was knocked off of YouTube. That's a joke. I was knocked off of YouTube because Marxist monsters have taken control of YouTube and big tech, and we're living in crazy times. So if you want to watch this show, you have to go to Rumble, or it's easier just to sign up at ericmetaxas.com. As you know, once a week, it is my joy to speak to our friend, John Zmirak. Later today, I will see John Zmirak. I'm flying to the great state of Texas, to Dallas, where John lives, and we're going to film some stuff at the stream. I'm going to be on Daystar TV in Dallas. I'm speaking in Dallas at a conference in Rowlett, Texas, which is that's tomorrow. My goodness, Friday, September 23rd. In the evening, the Wake Up Conference in Rowlett, Texas. A lot going on. But right now, I have the joy of speaking to our friend John Zmirak. John, you've written a million things. What do we talk about first?
Well, thanks, Eric. Great to talk to you. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you. We're both speaking at the same conference at Christians Engaged. It's going to be fun.
Are those people crazy? How could they bring a couple of hotheads like us into an environment like that? It makes no sense.
Well, they heard we had an Ivy League background and assumed we were civilized. But,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a game of bladder ball.
There you go. There you go. And if you don't know what bladder ball is, you can consult my memoir, Fish Out of Water, where I write. Probably, John, I might be the only person who's ever written an account of the mayhem of bladder ball. It's the chapter entitled The Last Bladder Ball. It's insane, and every word is true. Okay, John, been writing.
Here's something I wrote that I think of
years. What have you got for us?
I wrote a piece at stream.org called We're All Mark Judge Now.
Most people in my audience probably have no idea who Mark Judge is. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Judge is a living hero. He knows John. I know him a little bit. We're going to have him on this program soon. And I want to thank you, John, for bringing Mark Judge to my attention and to the attention of my audience. Go ahead.
Sure. Mark Judge is someone I sort of knew about. I would see his writing occasionally. He was, one of those guys who did Catholic book reviews. I'd seen him in Catholic magazines. All of a sudden, during the Brett Kavanaugh and confirmation hearings, he's at the center of the universe, and he's a black hole at the center of the universe that is sucking all light and all energy and all matter into itself. He is the national villain. If those of you don't remember, the left was desperate to keep Brett Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court because they wanted to keep abortion legal, because killing babies is the sacrament of their religion of sexual gratification. Killing babies for sexual convenience is a fundamental core value of the left, to the point where they pretended that it was written into the U.S. Constitution. They thought Brett Kavanaugh might be pro-life. Actually, we didn't know at the time because his track record was so ambiguous. You and I were at Yale at the same time as Brett Kavanaugh. You never heard of him. I never heard of him. He was one of those people who kept a low profile and, you know, went to football games and hung out with his friends and didn't.
Sounds just like a rapist to me. Please continue.
Yeah. So they didn't want him on the court. They didn't want any Trump appointee, but they really strongly suspected Kavanaugh might vote pro-life. He might see the Constitution and read it based on what the words mean in English and realize, yeah, go ahead and kill all the babies you want is not in here, and nothing remotely like it is in here. So they couldn't find any professional reason, any political reason, any legitimate reason at all to keep Kavanaugh off the court. However, one of them figured out he went to the same high school as Mark Judge, Georgetown Prep. And Mark Judge had written a memoir about being an alcoholic in high school and going to a lot of parties, some of which his fellow students were there. And Kavanaugh was at some of them.
Now, was this memoir fictionalized?
No. No, it was a genuine, authentic memoir called Wasted, and it was about being a teenage alcoholic in the 80s at that high school.
Right.
They decided, wait a minute. They saw the section where Mark Judge admitted he had memory lapses, that he had blackouts, and that's when the bell started ringing. Christine Blasey Ford was an abortion activist. She works for the company that makes the abortion pill. Her lawyer has admitted she decided to stop Kavanaugh because she thought he would vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. Her attorney, who also works for George Soros' Open Society Project.
What? Well, now, hang on. This is what I mean. This is like air horn alert. Christine Blasey Ford's attorney
works for George Soros' Open Society Project. And she said in public, and there's video of it, that the reason Christine Blasey Ford decided to stop Kavanaugh from being nominated, from being confirmed, if she could, was because of abortion. And remember, Christine Blasey Ford works for the company that makes the abortion pill. So all those things together, she has an opposition researcher. There's a professional opposition researcher working with her during Kavanaugh's confirmation. Because, you know, every rape survivor hires opposition researchers, right? Don't they all have the, you know, professional opposition researchers?
This is, again, most of America doesn't know this story. So I am so glad you are getting it out and that Mark Judge has written a book about it, which is going to be coming out soon. We'll have him on the program. But this is, ladies and gentlemen, you have to know what is going on. And the mainstream media obviously utterly refuses to cover what is astonishing. I mean, what you're saying, John, is an astonishing narrative not covered by the mainstream media. Most people in America have no idea of the nefariousness.
Not covered by Fox News, not covered by National Review, not covered at all, except at places like The Stream and your radio show. So in order to stop Kavanaugh, Blasey Ford hires a professional opposition researcher. He comes across Mark Judge's book. Mark Judge's book, which talks about drunken parties in high school in the 80s at Kavanaugh's high school. And here's the key thing. Mark Judge admits to memory lapses, to blackouts in the book. So all of a sudden, not only was Mark Judge present, Mark Judge is an eyewitness to this so-called rape. All the details that Christine Blasey Ford was able to offer in her testimony when she made up and lied about, and I want to be clear, committed perjury regarding the so-called rape by Brett Kavanaugh, all the real details come straight out of Mark Judge's memoir. So basically, his memoir was a story Bible for her perjury narrative.
And what you're saying, just to be clear, we're going to go to a break here, folks. But just to be clear, ladies and gentlemen, there was no rape. None of this ever happened. But the ultra cynical pro-abortion left said, we don't care. We think we can fool America into believing that this man who's been put up for the Supreme Court is a rapist. That's all we need to do. We have enough pieces to put something together. They tried. They failed. We'll be back with John Spira. Talking just the other day. And they said you were going to put me on a shelf. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Is the government the best mechanism for fighting poverty? Are there any real-life examples of communities successfully combating addiction and homelessness today? How can we best deliver hope to our nation? Those questions get answered September 23rd on SalemNow.com in an inspiring new motion picture from Kingstone Studios based on a true story. In No Vacancy, a demoted journalist finds her cynicism slowly transformed as she befriends a recovering addict while working a story about a church struggling to purchase a motel for homeless families. No Vacancy, starring Dean Cain, T.C. Stallings, and Sean Young, is based on the true story of First Baptist Leesburg, Florida, and a real location, the Samaritan Inn. Movie reviewers are saying movies like this bring purpose to the big screen, well produced, and the acting is tops. Enough cannot be said about how incredible this true story is, and this film does it justice. Pre-order it September 19th at salemnow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, September 23rd at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. All right, folks, we're talking to John Zmirak. John, you've shared this on the program before, but it's so important that people who are listening know the details of what happened. And to reiterate, when Justice Kavanaugh, then not yet a justice, was put up by Trump for the Supreme Court, the pro-abortion left decided again, because they've done this several times, to go scorched earth, to lie, to make things up. And as their principal tool in this, they found a memoir written by Mark Judge of his time of being an alcoholic in high school. And they thought, this is just enough for us to create a narrative. We're going to lie, but we bet we can put this over on the American people and keep this guy off the Supreme Court, because we don't want Roe v. Wade overturned.
That's right. And so Christine Blasey Ford couldn't say what year this rape allegedly happened, but she remembered all sorts of details, all of them from Mark Judge's book. So it's, Eric, if somebody ever claims, wants to, if somebody ever wants to make up perjury involving you, they will use fish out of water, your memoir of going to college, and there will be all these, you know, seemingly, you know, verifying details. Well, oh yeah, you did stay in that dorm. Yes, you did work at that place in over the summer. Oh yeah, that's what you were wearing on Celery Green Day in 1983. Oh, this story, this is seeming suspiciously real. It sounds like this person was there. Oh, wait, he had a memoir. Okay. But again, they picked Mark Judge because he admitted to having memory lapses. And so he suddenly was the eyewitness to this so-called rape, because if he was called before the Senate to say, I never saw any of this happen. I didn't see Brett Kavanaugh rape Christine Blasey Ford. I didn't see him grow bat wings and flap around the room and drink blood. I didn't see him climb the Empire State Building with Fay Wray in his right hand and get shot at by little biplanes. I didn't see any of that. Oh, but Mr. Judge, you cannot be certain, you cannot testify that this didn't happen, because you admit on page 73 and page 201 to having memory lapses and blackouts as a result of your teenage alcoholism. Isn't that the case? Well, that's right, Senator. So you cannot say that Brett Kavanaugh is innocent of rape with any moral certitude, given your memory lapses. Is that right, Mr. Judge? Yes. Okay, nomination over. So if Mark Judge had testified in front of the U.S. Senate, whatever he said, if he just recited the Nicene Creed and sang old Beatles songs, it would have stopped Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court.
So, but Mark Judge bravely and wisely did not testify.
He did not, despite massive pressure, despite dozens of reporters tracking him down. He had to go into hiding and stay at a friend's beach house, and they still tracked him down. There were people following him on the beach. He got threatening phone calls, like threatening violence, from someone who sounds a lot like Michael Avenatti. He had a really beautiful girl had her car break down and was trying to get him to give her a ride. He thinks that was a honeypot. I mean, there was CIA, FBI style undercover stuff going on. There were people, a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of talent, a lot of people like Ronan Farrow, a lot of hack journalists were dedicated to dragging his name through the mud. Now, this guy is a freelance writer. All his work dried up. Everybody, half of America turned on him. Conservatives did not rally around him. We do not take our wounded off the field. We are like the Soviet army. We leave them behind. Every man for himself, Tavarich. The left will go to the wall for Jussie Smollett. They'll go to the wall for rioters from the George Floyd riots. But when we have somebody like Mark Judge and he gets wounded on the battlefield, we just leave him behind. Virtually nobody reached out to Mark Judge to help him. I did. I got in touch with him and said, Mark, I know you've written for us a couple of times. How are you doing? And I was like, oh, he's in hell. He's being persecuted and nobody's helping him. So we brought him on as a writer at the Stream. He started writing about his experiences even as they were going on. And he started working on this book, The Devil's Triangle, which is just about to come out and it's available for pre-order. The Devil's Triangle, where he talks about what it's like to have half America and the stronger half, the richer half, the ruthless half, turn on you and use the details of your life that you've confessed in a memoir to try to destroy a candidate to the U.S. Supreme Court. And if Mark Judge had given in, caved to the pressure, done what 90% of us would have done, Brett Kavanaugh would not have been confirmed, and Roe v. Wade would still be the law of the land. So if you're a pro-lifer, thank Mark Judge by buying his book.
Actually, that's a good way of putting it. If you're a pro-lifer, thank Mark Judge by buying his book. You can pre-order it now, you just said. The title is The Devil's Triangle by Mark Judge. You know, it's just hard for me to believe, John, because I am naive and in some ways have not wanted to see the evil in front of me. It's hard for me to bear. I'm sensitive. And when I hear about the people on the left who believe so strongly in abortion going to these lengths to get their way, you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason that I have become more political than I used to be is because the Democratic Party is not the party it used to be. When you do not play by the rules, when you say, we don't care about anything, fairness, whatever you want to call it, we will have our way. We will go scorched earth. We will make things up. This is just one story.
Eric,
they did it with Hillary Clinton and the Steele dossier and crippled the nation, and a duly elected president crippled his ability to function with this Russian collusion hoax. Nobody has even really retracted that or tried to deal with that. It's just
no one's been held responsible for all the perjury involved with that.
That's what
but
I mean.
I wasn't surprised, Eric. If you're willing to kill babies for sexual convenience, if you're willing to castrate children in service of the transgender delusion, you're willing to lie to get away with it too. I'm not shocked when the demon in an exorcism tells lies. And I'm not shocked when pro-abortion activists commit perjury. I am shocked when our people don't respond seriously and don't man up, gird our loins, and fight. And they don't stick, they don't help people like Mark Judge, who are being fired, shot at by thousands of the enemy.
Well, John, it's hard for me not to bring things back to my book, Letter to the American Church, because I try to understand what it is among conservatives and among serious Christians that often paralyzes them. And Bonhoeffer called it in his book, I quoted in my book, but in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he writes how he is disgusted with the theologically based restraint towards speaking out. And it's amazing because you realize that even the people ostensibly on the right side of certain issues are fearful. And if they can find some, they can grasp some theological straw, even though
right.
it's wrong, they are looking for outs. They don't want to side with the person being persecuted, whether it's Mark Judge or John Smirak or Eric Metaxas or Naomi Wolf or Steve Bannon or Donald Trump or whoever is
right.
In the crosshairs. They would rather recede into the background and say, you know what, I think I'm just supposed to be quiet. I'm just supposed to pray or something like that.
They forget the church before Constantine. They forget that the church wasn't always a respectable part of society. It was once a persecuted enemy that was regarded as a dangerous conspiracy theory believed in by cranks, that entailed cannibalism, that rejected Rome, that rejected the gods of the city, that was subversive and probably criminal. They forget that that is our heritage. They think it's, you know, they're all Cardinal Wolsey whispering in Henry VIII's ear. That to them, that's the model of Christian discipleship.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That kind of sums it up. We've got more with John Smirak, but that is the point, is that we have forgotten, and I do write about this in the book, the wildness of God. Aslan is not a tame lion. God
yeah.
calls us to rise up and to speak truth and to fight for truth. We'll be back with John Smirak. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
You've heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th, and now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September 24th and join J6 Solidarity and their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital, and not just what mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the January 6th patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tabacco, Joel Altman, the host of Conservative Daily Podcast, Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to their website, the letter J, the number 6solid.com. That's J6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to J6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America. J6solid.com.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast.
Folks, talking to John Zmirak. What more do I have to tell you, John?
I think, as you were saying in your new book, Letter to the American Church, Aslan is not a tame lion. And I thought, the moment you reminded me of that, I thought of like people like David French and Russell Moore. Their version of Narnia, Aslan is a Persian cat, a pudgy Persian cat that you pet and you feed, and God purrs for you. Jesus is your pal. He's your drinking buddy. That's not it. I mean, Christianity is kind of a scary religion. There's only one thing scarier, which is what people do when they throw Christianity aside. What people become when they abandon Christianity is far worse than ordinary paganism. I wish Roman paganism were taking over in America compared to what's taking over.
Well, we're Satanism. In a different place in history, and where we are now, the evil that is revealing itself is shocking. And it's why when people say we are replacing the gospel with politics or whatever, it's just fascinating to me when people say things that are so besides the point, I can't even believe that they're saying them. But I want to be clear, people said this in Bonhoeffer's day. If ever you needed an example of a time when the church needed to arise and stand against evil, and that was the time that they refused to do it, they were kind of like, not yet, not yet. Let's be civilized about it. And what I say as a spirit-filled evangelical, what was the Holy Spirit asking the church to do? And a lot of people aren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They have some theological construct. It is inappropriate for the moment, but they're going to go with it. And so when Tim Keller, whom I mentioned in the book, whom I love, when he talks about his third way, yes, it made sense 20 years ago, for sure. It was beautiful. But the world has changed, and there's snakes and lions roaming around. You need to deal with the new reality.
That's
and so
right.
When people say, well, not yet, they are, it's kind of funny because on the one hand, they either make Aslan a tame lion, and so they play this little religious game, or the way I see it, I mean, I've spoken about it a lot in these different sermons that I'm speaking about, but where I talk about the book, because what I also see is they basically confuse God and the devil, and they think that God is a rules-based, harsh judge. And he says, if you lie, if you step out of line, if you say something not nice, if you tweet something unpleasant, I'm going to smash you. That's what I care about. And
yeah.
You're like, well, no, the God of the Bible, he does care about how we say things. He does care about those things. But his priority, he looks on the heart. Do you care about those who are suffering? Will you stand up boldly for those who are suffering? Will you speak the truth about critical race theory? Or will you shrink back and say, well, I don't want to say anything that might offend someone. I don't want to say anything that might. Really, we are called to this heroic, beautiful battle. And a lot of people are confusing the God of the Bible with this kind of, harsh taskmaster that is just looking, are you going to make a tiny religious mistake? And then wham, I got you. And so the Gestapo officer who comes to the door and says, are you hiding a Jew in the basement?
the religious person says, I cannot tell a lie. Please help yourself to the Jew. Torture him to the Jew, and I'm justified before God. So that's what Bonhoeffer called theologically based restraint, which he said is nothing but fear. Anyway, you've written so much else. Let's get to what you've written about.
Sure. Well, talking about innocent people who suffer, we just passed the two-year anniversary of the death of Jake Gardner. Now, if we lived in the same country, everybody would recognize Jake Gardner's name the way they recognized George Floyd's name. Jake Gardner was a combat veteran with stars, a decorated combat veteran for heroism in combat in Afghanistan and Iraq. He was the bar owner in Omaha, Nebraska, when the George Floyd riots were organized and unleashed on America. And a felon with multiple violent convictions attacked Jake Gardner's bar, along with the rest of a mob. But there was one guy in particular who was looting the place and was threatening Jake Gardner's elderly father, who was there with him trying to protect the bar. This felon got Jake Gardner into a sleeper hold, trying to make him crush his skull and make him unconscious. At that point alone, Jake Gardner pulled the gun and shot the looter and killed him. The local prosecutor said, there was video of this. The local prosecutor said, well, this is obviously self-defense. Black Lives Matter and Antifa descended on the prosecutor's house and picketed his house for 3 weeks until the prosecutor finally caved in and handed the case to a George Soros prosecutor, a local special prosecutor who had been elected with money from George Soros. Suddenly, Jake Gardner is charged with first-degree murder, and they seek 100 years in prison. He tries to defend himself, sets up a GoFundMe. GoFundMe cancels his account. He's not allowed to raise money for his defense because he's a racist murderer. His landlord throws him out, so he has to close his bar. He has no income. He's not allowed to raise money for his defense. Everyone in the city of Omaha is calling him a racist murderer for shooting the felon who was trying to choke him to death.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks. Go to stream.org, read these articles, share them. Thank you.
Someone called us Babylon, those hungry hunters tracking down the hours.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to my listeners. That's you. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're now all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer, because there's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057 now and use the promo code ERIC, or you can go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code ERIC. This offer will not last very long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Is the government the best mechanism for fighting poverty? Are there any real-life examples of communities successfully combating addiction and homelessness today? How can we best deliver hope to our nation? Those questions get answered September 23rd on SalemNow.com in an inspiring new motion picture from Kingstone Studios based on a true story. In No Vacancy, a demoted journalist finds her cynicism slowly transformed as she befriends a recovering addict while working a story about a church struggling to purchase a motel for homeless families. No Vacancy, starring Dean Cain, T.C. Stallings, and Sean Young, is based on the true story of First Baptist Leesburg, Florida, and a real location, the
Samaritan Inn. Movie reviewers are saying movies like this bring purpose to the big screen, well-produced, and the acting is tops. Enough cannot be said about how incredible this true story is, and this film does it justice. Pre-order it September 19th at salemnow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, September 23rd at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, you're telling us the tragic, tragic story of Jake Gardner. This is like, we should be writing novels about this. We should be writing stories. I mean, nonfiction books should hit the bestseller list on the story of Jake Gardner, among other things. It's unbelievable. Continue the story.
Jake Gardner is what happened. It's like what happened to Kyle Rittenhouse with a tragic ending. So Jake Gardner had defended himself against one of the thousands of George Floyd rioters turned loose on America. It was that was trying to destroy his bar, stealing his stuff, attacked his elderly father, and at the moment was trying to choke Jake Gardner to death. Jake shot his attacker. Mobs from Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorized the local prosecutor until they charged Jake Gardner with first-degree murder, which, of course, is absurd. First-degree murder involves, planning. It involves malice aforethought. But then they did that with Kyle Rittenhouse, too. When people running after you with guns and screaming, kill him, and you shoot in self-defense, that is not first-degree murder. That's not that. But anyway, it's not funny because GoFundMe shut down his fundraiser. He had been raising tens of thousands of dollars to hire a lawyer. So here he is. He has no attorney. He has no money. He has no income. And his city has turned against him and is calling him a racist killer. So Jake Gardner took his own life. And 2 years ago, his best friend found his body and has ever since tried to tell his story. Almost nobody talks about this. I learned about it from reading Ann Coulter, who's, as always, is courageous, a truth teller. I've got a piece at stream.org called Why Jake Gardner Had to Die. Our homegrown Bolsheviks plan to hang all the kulaks. Remember the kulaks were the peasants in Russia who Lenin wanted to take the grain away from, who Stalin starved in the Ukrainian famine? Yep. Kulaks are the people who work hard and play by the rules, who are the backbone of any decent country.
They're the deplorables.
That's right. They're the ones who the Bolsheviks in any country always want to destroy. The people who will look out for their neighbors, the people who will defend against a rioter, people like Kyle Rittenhouse, who will volunteer to try to help business owners during a violent riot. People like that, if you can knock off that crucial minority, that backbone of the country of people who will stand up at a school board meeting and say, I don't want you teaching this to our kids. Well, Merrick Garland wants to accuse those people of being domestic terrorists. People will say, I saw ballot fraud during the 2020 election. The FBI will come to your door. People like Mike Lindell, who will fund the investigation of ballot fraud. The FBI comes after him. If you can kill off the courageous members of a country, of a particular party, if you can, anybody who pokes up his head, anybody who says, well, I'm not going to take this vaccine because it's made from dead babies. Okay, we got to destroy him too. We're going to take him off YouTube. We're going to maybe take away his email account. We're going to get him fired. It is the standard strategy of totalitarians. It's what they did to Lech Walesa. It's what they did to Vaclav Havel, to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, to Mark Judge, to Kyle Rittenhouse, to Jake Gardner, God rest his soul. They've tried to do it to you, Eric. They're doing it to Steve Bannon. They're trying it with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Remember, they've tried twice, multiple times, to murder Steve Bannon and Marjorie Taylor Greene by calling SWAT teams falsely to their house and saying that there was a shooter situation.
I did not even know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Multiple times. They have leftists have called the police and said someone's being held hostage at this address. You need to send a SWAT team. And it's Steve Bannon's house. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene's house. The left, we know the left tried to murder Brett Kavanaugh. It is unconscionable at this point to pretend, oh, we can't be political. Jesus wasn't political. People who say that are Sadducees. They are Caiaphas and Annas selling Jesus to the Romans, saying it's expedient that one man dies for the sake of the people. They are sucking up to Caesar. They are traitors. They are worse than the atheists on the left.
Well, this is why I say to everyone in my audience, folks, what are you doing? What can you do? You have to do something. You have to do whatever you can do. And the first thing you have to do is pray and ask God to lead you in terms of what to do. Some of you can give money to worthy causes, to those people who are struggling because of this craziness. Some of you can be poll watchers. Some of you can decide to homeschool your kids. Some of you can share these videos on social media. The point is that there are all innumerable things we can do, but it is because people have done nothing that we are where we are. And it will get worse and worse and worse and worse unless the church wake up and speak up and take action and understand, in the words of Bonhoeffer, that doing nothing and saying nothing now is theologically based restraint, which is not theologically based. It is simply fear.
It's cowardice. It's just cowardice.
Well, it is. But I mean, it's amazing to me that I forgot that I'd written that in my book, quoting Bonhoeffer in The Cost of Discipleship. He was furious at the silence of the church. He, and this is 1936, he was murdered in 1944. It's amazing to me, folks. God gives us chance after chance after chance, and it's only because people don't really believe. They say they have faith, but they prove that they have no faith, no saving faith.
Let's remember,
they do not behave as though they have faith.
Let's remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. A Levite, a member of the priestly class, passes by the man on the road who's been beaten up, left for dead. He passes him by. A Pharisee passes him by. They don't want to get involved. They're on their way to the temple. They're going to go pray to God instead of helping their fellow man. It's a Samaritan, a dirty foreigner with false beliefs, who picks that man up and binds his wounds. That Good Samaritan, that's the Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Steve Bannon, the Mark Judge, the Kyle Rittenhouse, the Mike Lindells of this world.
It's where we are, folks. Please be sure that you understand these things, because this is not a test. This is real. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. God bless.
Hey there, folks. In a couple of seconds, we do our weekly Ask Metaxas segment. Stay tuned for that. After that, I get to talk to Superman. Superman, I tell you, Dean Cain. I've never interviewed him before. I'm excited about that. After that, we talked to Joel Rosenberg. You probably know who Joel Rosenberg is. He's a big deal. I get to talk to him today. But right now, before we do all that, we want to remind you, to support our sponsors. I mentioned that the code ERIC at mystore.com and mypillow.com was not working last night for some reason. I texted Mike Lindell, and genius maniac that he is, he immediately got it fixed. I don't know what happened, but I don't think he sleeps.
The pillow guy doesn't sleep.
Isn't that strange? He doesn't sleep because he's got the coffee now. When I was with him the other day, and he told us again the details of being surrounded by the FBI at Hardee's, it was the funniest. I mean, he is such a hero. It's amazing to me, and he elicits the same craziness that Trump does in people. People just, they don't know why
They hate that guy. And I think, why? Like, why? Please tell me what it is about him. He's such a good man. And this is, I speak as somebody who's gotten to know him over time. It really is. It's amazing when you see someone who's living out his faith. He's living out what he believes in real life. It's not just, you know, when he's on the screen or doing interviews, he's precisely the same person. And he is really fighting the battle for all of us against voting fraud. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I want to mention Albin, because we just have a couple of seconds here. Folks, you probably know this, but if you want to listen to the program without commercials, you can go to Metaxas Super. We've rarely mentioned that. I mean, but I want to say that there are a lot of people that signed up for Metaxas Super, and you can listen to the program without the commercials, without the news, just the straight program, just the straight podcast, whatever it is that you want. I also want to mention that because my book, Letter to the American Church, just came out this week, if you're inclined to buy it, please buy it this week. The sooner that we can get it into the hands of people, the sooner I think we could save the nation. Because if the church doesn't understand that our silence in the face of all the evils around us are what is enabling these evils to triumph, that the parallels to the German church are astonishing. They're astonishing. Yeah. I'm just telling you, if you read the book, you're going to be, I didn't realize. In fact, Bonhoeffer, he spoke, I mentioned this on Charlie Kirk's program yesterday, about how disgusted Bonhoeffer was by what he called the theologically based restraint of the church, which he said is nothing but cowardice, which is kind of an amazing statement coming from Bonhoeffer, that he said that the theological, in other words, they're giving these theological reasons, and he says it's baloney. He was a brilliant theologian. He knew it was baloney. He said it's just cowardice. It's just fear. Now, think about that, folks. If that was the case then, that is precisely the case now. But imagine seeing it happen and knowing that if they spoke up, they could have turned things around. That's where we are today. And so I beg you, folks, if you think of a pastor that's waffling, that doesn't understand his obligation, a friend, I wrote this for those people. You can find it at ericmetaxas.com. Please go to ericmetaxas.com. Please help us get the word out. We need your help. Share these videos. We really do need your help. I say it unapologetically. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with Ask Metaxas.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.